it's axiomatic that the amount of preparation that we put into something will have a direct correlation to its results. And in fact, with respect to matters of sanctity, it is no different. And in fact, it's a Iker theme in the Netziv. We covered that with respect to the Jews leaving Rephidim and approaching Har Sinai for Kabbalah Satorah, and considering that that is the time that we're in, it is a relevant theme to mention here. But it does not only show up there, it shows up in a variety of the Netziv's comments, specifically in Parsha Shmos, where Kodesh Baruch Hu describes himself as to Moshe Rabbeinu, when Moshe Rabbeinu is trying to uncover more and more layers of Kodesh Baruch Hu's identity for the purposes of sharing that with Bnei Yisrael. Kodesh Baruch Hu finally says, "Ehayeh asher ehayeh, I will be how I will be." The Netziv there says, you can understand Shezeh Toloi Behachanas HaMekablim. This is similar to what we had mentioned last week as well, but with regards to Mekalel, we say that the HaKadosh Baruch Hu's appearance or perception will depend largely upon those who are receiving him. So that's the idea of Ehayeh Asher Ehayeh. I will be as I will be. What is the mirror? The mirror is in some way reflected. The way that I will appear to you will depend on how you are prepared to receive me. Similarly, in Sefer Devarim, we have an additional netziv that says, that is describing the relationship, the literal tete-a-tete with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, panim bepanim, right, face to face. And he says, Mashmos, panim bepanim, says, Be'oso panim she'atem tiyu imo, be'oso panim yehu yizborach imachem. With the face that you are going to present to him will be correlating to the face that HaKadosh Baruch Hu kebayachul, as it were, is preparing to us. So the theme is very clear, and those are the sources that are on the back of your sheet. And now that theme, as described, will inform the way that we're now going to approach what I think is a critical netziv, because this netziv is in certain ways a corollary or maybe even an exception to the idea that we have described so far. The narrative for Shavuos, for Shemitah, the cycle whereby the land is laid fallow for a year's time, includes the allowing us into the thought process of some who feel as if they just, they're worried, they're concerned about what's going to be during that time. It's obviously reasonable. We discussed by Yaakov Avinu, Vayisa Yaakov Raglov. Remember, we talked there that Yaakov Avinu had no cheshek for Avodah Zarah, but everybody has a cheshek to know the future, because there is nothing quite more disconcerting than uncertainty and a lot of man's machinations in the world, right, are trying to create a sense of certainty, right? And the concept of bitachon is embracing uncertainty, right? So we've encountered this from a number of different angles. But now what we have is the interlocutor in the narrative of Shemitah of a voice that many will be thinking. Look at the first source, Bekisomru, and when you say, Manochel Bashana Hashvi'is, what will we eat during the seventh year? Hain lo nizra velo ne'esof es tevuaseinu. We have not planted and we will not gather resultingly our produce. V'tzivisi es birchasi lachem, and I have commanded or established my bracha for you b'shana ashishis, in the sixth year. V'asas es hatevu'a lishlosh shanim, and the produce from the sixth year will yield sufficient produce for the crop from the sixth year will yield sufficient produce for 3 full years, for 6, 7, and 8. And then everything will be hunky-dory. The question that the Netziv is going to ask is a fundamental question. Why are we putting these words out there? Why are we discussing a person who is lacking in their bitachon? What would be the reason for us to describe a person with shaky faith, somebody with maybe a crack in their foundation that must be rock solid, for Shemitah ostensibly to work for them? Because did we not just learn this concept that the results in all matters of spiritual nature are proportional to whatever we put in? And if that is true, asks the Netziv, shouldn't Shemitah only be for the people who are really, quote unquote, holding in bitachon? Shouldn't Shemitah be for the Anshei Maila? Shouldn't it be for the Gedolei Olam, the great people who really would believe that if they plant during the sixth year, that they're good for 3 years? Look at the Netziv. First, I mean, this question, you should know, I mean, there's more to say about it. See Rav Avadya Sforno, he says that the question is, maybe they are not, you know, we have to figure out why they're asking. There's a tension, there's a concern. The Sforno has to say, they're asking because not that they're concerned that they won't have anything. They believe that they'll have the right quantity of food. No problem, Kodesh Baruch Hu's told us that. But how do we know the food's going to be quality? How do we know it's going to be good? Right? It's the same reason, Michael, that we've described, is that uncertainty is the most dangerous imp of the perverse that gets into people's heads. Take for a moment, close your eyes, and think about what would happen if you won the lottery. How many things would you try to make certain in your life that would really just be an endeavor of futility? Right? Because the lottery winner ultimately has to have the same bitachon, right, as the person who's living hand to mouth. In fact, it is I would say it's well settled, or at least well supported, that the tests of wealth are greater than the tests of destitution. So in fact, you know, that lottery winner who thinks that they're getting, you know, an easier, you know, a path towards Easy Street, is actually getting a harder path. That's Sforno.
Then everyone says, bring it on.
I agree with you that people would say, bring it on. Nevertheless, that's the mitzvus. That's the way the world is. I can't describe why people are irrational, but we have to acknowledge that we are. Right? Look at the Netziv. The key summary. Be'asher, she'be'emes kol zeh, eino ela ma'isa nis. You know, says the Netziv, this whole Shemitah process, it's not part natural, part unnatural. It's not just the benefits of crop rotation or letting the land be fallow, as has been suggested by certain rationalists. It's not a coincidence. It's a nis. Shiyu gedolim b'shana lo zrua tivua upirus ha'ilan masbiyem es kola adam. And for a year where basically you're not planting and the existing fruits will be sufficient. Kol adam v'behema, all people and animals, v'yadua t'derech nis. Eno roi ela lefiach analakach. Says the Netziv, the theme that we have now established, that we know that nisim are only really going to happen to the people who deserve it. V'hainu, api shehikdim akosav asisim eschukosai, since previously we said you will follow my ordinances, sheyirbu bishkidas atorah b'pulpula b'shanim elu, that these years, the years of Shemitah and Yovel, exist for the purposes of increased Torah studies. The ein mi min hapela sheyugdol kocham leloka v'yum aminim u'mosrim es atzman lanaga al yanazu v'neged zet ye be'emes az hashgach nifla. And it is not of wonder that these individuals will, I guess, have a quid pro quo for their bravery, and they will be involved in such great mesiras nefesh, great exertion, great giving themselves over, as it were, to be able to get to this great level, and because of that, they will be the recipients of great providence. But we would think in our minds, if these great people were not so great, then what? It's you, mishtoma mimaza, ma naisa b'shana shmiris. They would be, I guess they would be, these sad creatures that would say what will happen. And if so, if they lower themselves to that very sad level to say, well, I just don't know what's going to be. I am afraid of what's going to be. I am concerned about my future. I am uncomfortable with the uncertainty. If they were to say that, then guess what? They're not going to survive. They're not going to have their food. They're not going to get the bounty from the Kodesh Baruch Hu. They leave a Kodesh Baruch Hu out to dry. Kodesh Baruch Hu leaves them out to dry. Vayola Das. The ikar mitzvah shvi'is v'yovel lo nisna ela lemishagim mishanagim b'derech ma'ala yisera. You would think then that Shemitah and Yovel is only given to people, the anshei ma'ala, the people of great, the men and women on the highest level of great redeeming quality and of the finest order. Aval be'emes eino kein. He says, you know what, that's a lovely idea, but it's patently false. De ha-Torah yecholo lisnaig b'shleimus. This is the thesis. So we should say it slowly. Afilu la'anashim she'enon b'zu amayla. Because, says the Netziv, the Torah can be fulfilled in its entirety even for people who are not at that level on Shemaila. Mishumachi, because of this, Pirish HaKosav v'kisomru b'shana hashishis. The Pasuk tells us about this interlocutor who will ask during the sixth year, Manocha b'shana shvius. What will we eat during the seventh year? Lo tiyu b'mayala elyona zu azai v'tzivisi. And then he's going to say, I'm going to give you a bracha. Shi b'derech hashgacha pratis b'derech hateva. Because Baruch Hu's providential involvement will govern. The thesis here is, notwithstanding the important part, the important concept that Nisim only happen to people who are ready, the Netziv says the Torah can be done in its completion by people who are not Anshei Maila. It's a very provocative statement, and it's hard to know what the Netziv means. Is the Netziv coming out to say that every single person can fulfill the Torah in its entirety? I believe the logical term for that would be a false contrapositive, right? But does it mean to say that the every man can fulfill the entirety of the Torah? Does it mean that the Torah is requiring for us to be just the best that we can be, and that itself is the reward? It's a Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva, where the Rambam asserts that one should never ever rely on their limitations. Because anybody can be a tzaddik like Moshe Rabbeinu, or a Rasha like Yeravam ben Nevat. So we must ask ourselves, well, really? Do I have the tools in the toolbox to be a Moshe Rabbeinu? Or do I have the tools in the toolbox to be a Yeravam? It's not really in my mode of proximal development. It's not within reach. So there are two ways to explain it generally, with some nuance. One way to explain that Rambam is that the way in which we could be a tzaddik like Moshe Rabbeinu and Yeravam ben Nevat is literal, that our potential is boundless in every which direction. It is only our choice whether we will unlock it. And the second way to explain it, with some variation, would be that no, the way in which we can be like Moshe Rabbeinu or Yeravam ben Nevat is that we can max out our potential. Moshe Rabbeinu maxed out his potential up to his level. Yeravam ben Nevat maxed out his potential in the other direction. So too, we can max out our potential in one way or the other. And perhaps that could be instructive, or at least probative, in explaining this Netziv. But no matter how you slice it, the Netziv is supposed to be giving us chizuk. The chizuk is that within the inner voice of any spiritually sensitive person who realizes their own shortcomings, we should hear the question of whether or not we're worthy of any of the brachos that the Torah affords us and promises us. And when we hear them, we say, well, that's probably for the guy who davens next to me. But I wonder if I've gotten to that level yet. It may be true. It may be true that we haven't gotten to the level. But then it's as saying something here, that the Torah can be fulfilled in a certain shlemus, a certain fullness, to the extent that we too, everyone in this room, everyone listening to the recording, and everybody reading the Netziv, can be worthy of those nisim, can be worthy of something so miraculous where you can take a year off and still have 3 years of produce.